Our first guest today is a writer of some renown in Oregon. Her work is enjoyed by readers and reviewers, and she's won some awards for her work. Diana Abu-Jabbar won an Oregon Book Award for her first novel, Arabian Jazz. Her second novel, Crescent, won an American Book Award and the Penn Center Award for Literary Fiction. But her work is not all fiction. She's also written a memoir/cookbook, The Language of Baklava. She has taught at the University of Oregon and other schools, and she speaks tomorrow at 6 at the Eugene Library as part of the Northwest Women Writers Symposium, and it's free. Diana Abu-Jabbar, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Any idea how many different ways your name has been pronounced over the years, and that includes your first one as well?
You know, I think it goes without counting. It's innumerable.
Let's talk about the diversity of skills. It's fairly impressive. I mean, does fiction writing translate well to recipe writing and or vice versa?
You would think so. When I started out, I thought that I could write a memoir pretty much the way I wrote a novel. And I thought about it in terms of memories as stories and interlinking stories. You know, your life follows a kind of a trajectory from childhood to adulthood, and I thought it would just be a matter of following that trajectory out from beginning to, you know, ongoing, let's say. And I came to discover it's just not that simple, that you have to remember, and then you have to let the memories kind of expand into their own terrain. And memory has a very different structure than the novel. It's a more crystalline, and it's more irregular, so you cannot be the author of your own story in many ways.
Crystalline in the sense of being somewhat rigid and inflexible?
Well, in that regard, yeah, that memories can be extremely inflexible, and sometimes you really have to be pushed in order to have your memory expand. For me, I had to work with editors and readers who kept pushing me to get beyond the structure I had in mind and to let the memories kind of expand, let them speak more openly. I needed to get to the truth inside those crystals. And so that it becomes faceted, it becomes multi-pointed. And so memory has its own integrity and memory has its own will.
I can see where that would be an issue, because if when you're used to writing fiction, I mean, it kind of goes where it goes,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of follow the story along. But in this case, it has to go where it actually did go already.
That's right. That's right. And it has to make sense, and it has to have a kind of arc to it, because people do like forward momentum, whether they're reading a novel, a short story, or a memoir. We want to feel that there's a point to things and that you as the author are going to take us on a journey of some sort. So it's part of the trick is finding your journey.
Diana, would you give us a sense of what goes on at the Northwest Women Writers Symposium?
Well, it's going to be a really neat, a really neat event. Myself and a couple other writers are coming in, and we're going to be talking about women's writing, resilience, and creativity, and how those things kind of move through the lens of food, so that anyone who's interested in food or food writing, food as the bearer of culture, I think will find this a really fascinating event. For me, food is a kind of obsessive pursuit, because it was one of the most important ways my father taught us about his Middle Eastern culture. You know, so hence the memoir is called The Language of Baklava, because baklava became such a touchstone to us as his children learning about his culture.
It is interesting how so much is, I mean, we're not just talking about the ingredients, you know, the flour, the water, et cetera, but there's just so much that gets wrapped up in food in our culture.
It really does. It speaks to us in a way that, you know, lectures and classes and op-ed pieces don't have that same texture. Food is lovely because, in a sense, it's inherently apolitical. It doesn't take sides. You know, you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to believe a certain thing. You don't have to have a certain nationality. You can taste it and enjoy it as a human being. And so it's a beautiful, unifying experience. And at the same time, it teaches you immensely about history and culture in this kind of subliminal, physical way. So there's really nothing quite like it.
Diana Abu-Jaber, the author, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So is the process of writing similar then to the kind of care you have to use with a particularly tricky recipe? I've never tried baklava, but it looks like it's fairly difficult. And I would think that some of the slowness and the care you'd have to take in both processes are mirrors of one another.
It's true. It's true. The recipe is a formula, if you will. It's step-by-step process, as you put it. And that is very similar to the process of writing, that you take it step-by-step, or as Anne Lamott puts it, bird-by-bird. You let yourself carefully assemble the ingredients. You think about what you want to put into your creation, whether it's a dish or a story, or any kind of artistic work follows this process. And you try not to let yourself be too locked down by your own ideas and your own imagination. I think that's really key. I see this again and again with writers, that we come up with wonderful ideas, we come up with recipes, and then we try to hold ourselves to them so tightly that we never give ourselves the creative freedom that we need to fly. And so I think part of what happens with stories, writing, and recipes is a struggle to unlock ourselves from the outline and to fly beyond the premise.
So freedom from our own constraints, our own self-imposed constraints, or by the strictures that others impose?
Both, definitely, both. I do believe that writers and cooks are often their own worst enemies. You know, we try to hold ourselves accountable and we come up with great ideas and thoughts that we want to hang on to. And then it's so hard to let the process take its natural course sometimes. And I think that's very true with cooking by recipe. You know, I have a number of relatives who they refuse to write anything down, you know, and if you work in a kitchen, you know, in a professional kitchen, they don't work with recipes. A lot of great chefs simply will go into the market, look at the food itself for inspiration, and work off of that. That becomes the thing that drives the creative process. And the same thing is true with writing as well, that you let the ideas come to you and you spark off of your imagination. You spark off of those bits of sensory detail and information and just let it fly.
We're talking to Diana Abu-Jaber on the Jefferson Exchange, an Oregon author. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Diana, you told another interviewer a few years ago that you write longhand. Is that still your preferred method of operation?
You know, call me crazy. Yeah, I write everything completely longhand. I have stacks and stacks of these notebooks. And what I do is I write a rough draft completely longhand, page by page. And once I feel like I've got a rough draft down, I'll turn around and type it into the computer, although these days I hire a typist, so I do take a shortcut there. It's just got to be too labor intensive. And then I do my revising on the screen. So I get it in a few different formats, and it actually, I find it helpful to work through different formats. You know, the writing by hand, it really slows you down. And so it's nice. I don't get ahead of myself, and I love that feeling of the physical connection of the mind to the page, you know, to have your hand on the actual paper with a pen there. There's nothing else quite like it. It's very intimate. It's very immediate in a way that I don't find is quite the same when I'm working on a computer. So I take myself through the process from A to Z, from apples to oranges, and then hopefully a book emerges at the end.
What's your sense, Diana, of the state of writing? I mean, especially in this age of video entertainment, pretty much wall to wall, and Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's so interesting. You know, I am on Twitter, and I have found that to be a really interesting kind of creative challenge, you know, to be confined to a small space, and screens and movies and online telecasts are all very, you know, new, rich, important formats. And so, yeah, from time to time, I read about the death of the novel. I read that writing is becoming outmoded. I don't believe it. I think that we always need stories, and that there's going to be a great number of readers around for a long, long time. There's something about the reading experience that really can't be replaced, because it gives you the additional dimension of imagination, visual imagination, that screens often do not. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is interesting to see what kind of an impact something like Twitter will have on a writing process. You know, there are books now that are coming out that are written entirely in tweets. Mm-hmm. Certainly there are television shows that have done that. And it's going to change. Things will change, and we'll try different genres and formats. But I think at the heart of it, it's always going to be the story. It's always going to be the storyteller. So we'll always have some element of that at the center of our work.
We had a drop-off question here from Robert in Yreka, California. He wants to know what you think of the intimate aspect of sharing food, a communal lifestyle, back to the food and writing discussion.
Oh, it's so important. I think it's kind of the critical experience of our lives. You know, I'm not exaggerating. We have a kid now, you know, and it's so interesting to think about the time we get to share with our daughter is really the richest when we're at the table together. And I think something is really lost when people don't have an opportunity. And I know it's hard, but when we don't have an opportunity to sit down and talk and eat, we lose some of that wonderful immediacy. And I think relationships are built around it. Love is built upon it. And all kinds of mutual communication and understanding come through it. That's why I think diplomats and politicians should always sit down to eat together.
Right.
I do. I think it's the critical way to speak.
You'd mentioned having a child now, and I did see some of your tweets, including the one about mm-hmm. your 6-year-old disliking your hair blowout a great deal. but you
yeah.
also tweeted about your child searching for words, and I wonder about how her language development might influence or otherwise get into what you now do with words.
Oh God, I hope she doesn't become a writer. Well. You never know. But I see her being very interested in language. I see her, you know, I read to her every night. That is a given. It's something we both enjoy immensely, and we wrangle over it. She has opinions over what to read. She has her favorites. I'm learning that children's books are written both for the adult as well as for the child. I never really understood mm-hmm. that before. So I see that it is very much a shared process, and it's an exciting thing to take a child along, an exciting journey to take a child along on. My mother was a reading teacher, and she brought home books and books for me when I was growing up. And I really do credit that with becoming a writer. I learned to love the story because my mother shared that with me and taught me about the importance of reading. So, yes, I'm really excited and enjoying that that aspect of child rearing. Other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Getting to bed. Yeah.
There are lots of parts
to it. That's something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So the
right.
Northwest Women Writers Symposium kicks off tomorrow evening at 6 at the Eugene Library. That's when your talk will be up. And let's see. I have the title for it here someplace. Oh, Our Daily Bread, Women's Stories of Food and Resilience. So that'll be tomorrow at 6 at the Eugene Library. It is free. So thanks so much for the preview here today, Diana Abu-Jabbar.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.